Hi, I'm Renee Evans, co-senior leader of Bethel Austin. Make sure that you like and subscribe to our weekly sermons so that you don't miss what is happening here at Bethel Austin. We pray that this message inspires and encourages you. And most of all, we pray that you would have an encounter with the living God today.
Thank you, Jesus. Good morning. Holy Spirit is in the house. God's here this morning. Come on. It's a very good response to that statement. Come on, how many people know that what just happened a few minutes ago, those bodies getting healed, those people getting touched, that doesn't happen on accident. That happens because Jesus is in the room. And Jesus shows up where there are given hearts, where we come and we worship him and we lay our hearts down in worship. The Bible tells us he inhabits the praise of his people. And we're learning to worship him with our whole hearts so that he can come and do more. How many people have a bigger appetite? You have space for God to do even more than he's doing, that you're ready for God to do more than what he's doing. You're hungry for God to do even more in our midst. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. You know, this has got nothing to do with the message today, but Psalms 100 tells us to enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. That we are called to enter in. And we have this amazing opportunity every time we gather to come and to worship the King of Kings. Not just to sing songs, but to enter into worship, to engage with him, our friend, and watch him be God in our midst and do great things. You know, I used to tell the worship teams back in the healing rooms, and they created atmospheres of invitation for our friend to be welcome in the room. Our friend Jesus and Holy Spirit. And miracles would happen. But I would tell them, say, listen, any secular musician can sing the same songs that we sing. A decent musician, you give them a song sheet. They know how to read music, they could play, they could sing the same songs, but they're not worshiping. Because worship happens from the Spirit. And the invitation is not just to sing, the invitation is to engage. And oftentimes, three ways we can be approaching worship. We can be observing, just looking around. We can be singing, or we can be entering. And when we enter is when things change. So when we enter is when we encounter him. When we enter is when our friend starts to manifest his goodness in our midst. Because how many people know that once you get through the gates and once you get into the courts, there's someone in there waiting for you? The point isn't just to get in. The point is who is waiting for you. The point is the one who's inviting you, because when you come through, the point is to encounter or to engage with the King. Come on, thank you, Jesus. Let's just take a praise break. I think that's worth giving him praise this morning. Come on, Jesus. We give him real praise this morning. We love you, Jesus. We praise you, God. We thank you. We're thankful for you. Whoo, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Man, that testimony is powerful. The lady, 15 years, and God showed up. Just restored her, and she ran to her neighbor's house. That's a good response right there. I always love it when people respond to God's miracle touch and his love the way that we think they should respond. I like it when people respond the right way. They're like, oh my goodness, Jesus just healed me. I gotta tell someone. She runs to her neighbor's house. That's so much better than when, so like, all the pain is gone. And you're like, how you feel? All the pain's gone? They're like, yep. You had it for 5 years, it's all gone? Yep. Why am I more excited for your breakthrough than you're excited for your breakthrough? sometimes I think people are just in shock a little bit. Take some time to settle in. Hey, Bob, we got Bob Gibson over here. Give us a wave, Bob. Bob is our testimony recorder. And, you know, the testimony of Jesus, Revelation 19:10, the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. What he's done once, he's willing and able with anticipation to do again. That your testimony actually creates momentum in the kingdom. It awakens our faith, our awe, our wonder, our reality, our revelation that God is here and present and ready to do that thing again. So don't hide your testimony, share your testimony. It is a form of worship and adoration. So Bob's going to be in the community room. He is after every service, or his team, they'll be in the community room. So if God's brought breakthrough to your body, just stop there real quick. It takes 2 minutes to share with them what God did for you. All right, we're going to be talking this morning about what started in the garden. And we're going to be in Genesis chapter 2, and we're going to be in John 15. And so, you know, we're just going to cover the whole story, you know, just from the beginning. And thank you, Jesus. God's good. God's good, and how many people know that when God formed this world that we live in, when he breathed and the universe was created, and when he spoke and he created day and night, when he created the land, that he stopped over and over again and said, "It is good." How many people know that at the beginning, the foundation of the story is, "It is good." Okay, I'll try it over here. The coffee shop is out in the lobby to the left if you need a pick-me-up. Now, the beginning of the story, the beginning, the foundation of the story is, it is good. And God is releasing. He is on a mission to release his goodness through his creation, to see it fully come alive, to see it fully developed. How many people know that all of creation, that means the whole thing, all of creation is waiting and groaning for the revealing of the sons of God? That God has a plan, and part of his plan is he has raised up partners for his plan. That God is the master artist, and that we are part of God's design, and that God calls us new creations in Christ. And in Ephesians 2, God refers to us actually as his masterpiece. Oh, thank you, Jesus. But we have a good God. Turn to your neighbor and just tell him, we have a good God. We have a good God. You know, I was this message started, the stirring for this started for me. I was mowing our lawn, and we just got a new house. We bought this house. It's on 2 acres, and it's the biggest fixer-upper project you've ever seen in your whole life. I'm pretty convinced. The people in the neighborhood thought that the house was abandoned. You couldn't access the front door because the roof had fallen in. I mean, it was a big project. And we did that last year while we also were moving into this church building, right, and coming out of, like, lockdowns and COVID and all this stuff. And we're just a little bit crazy. But we believe God for big things. But over that time, we've been restoring this house. Restoring this property. Every tree on the property looked more like a bush than a tree. Like, it was so overgrown. Like, many of them you couldn't walk under. The branches just came all the way to the ground. It was just, Bob was out there hours helping me trim up all this stuff. And just week after week, month after month, just painting, trimming, hammering, restoring. And fast forward, and we're we're about done. I don't know if you're ever done with, you know, a project. There's always tweaks, but about done. And I was mowing the lawn the other day, and I just felt the pleasure of God come over me as I'm just looking over the property, riding the mower, and felt the pleasure of God come over me. And I felt the whisper of God say, "Thank you for partnering with me to restore its beauty." And I went, whoa, and I just got flooded with this gratefulness I felt from God. And so that's the foundation of the message this morning. And I love in Austin, the University of Texas, you know, the motto, "What starts here changes the world." I love that. But what started in the garden really changed the world. And two things happened in the garden. And we're going to go back and look at a little bit of that. God created life. He created mankind. He created the animals and the fish and the trees and the birds. And he created all these beautiful things. And he said, "It is good." That's number one and most important. And then we also know that through the decision of Adam and Eve and their disobedience, and they ate of the fruit of the tree, of the knowledge of good and evil they weren't supposed to, and sin came into the picture. Amen? And that happened also in the garden, and that had a defining dynamic on the world that we live in today. But the reality is that isn't the main part of the story. That sometimes we get lost in this, and that is occupies our engagement with the story. Like, yep, sin came in at the garden, and it's important. We have to deal with sin. Amen? We have to be able to repent. We have to be able to come back to the Father, to be reconciled, to become friends. We have to repent. We have to step out of sin and into his forgiveness and his grace. But listen, we get so occupied with the problem, we lose awareness of the promise. Because God had a greater part of the story. And I want to open your Bibles to Genesis chapter 2. We're going to jump in there in a moment, but when Jesus came to give life and life more abundantly. How many people know that's true? And that he loves us, his children, and when we're born, I have children, many of you have children. When my child is born, I have all this great vision and great hope for my children. And that involves them growing up, them flourishing, them find what makes them come alive, what they're passionate about, the dreams in their heart, and that they would find a godly spouse and grow up and get married and have godly children and be successful, contributors, success, all these amazing dreams, right? But how many people know that sometimes bad things happen in life? Is that a shock to anybody in the room? Bad things happen. Sometimes really bad things happen. Sometimes people get sick. Sometimes people are sick for a number of years. But if someone gets sick, they get cancer, they go through chemo, and they restore during that time period, that can be all consuming. But how many people know if you could step back and look at the whole purpose of your existence, that is not the primary reason you're on the planet? Yeah. And in fact, we attack sickness so aggressively so that we can get better and we can go back to enjoying life and being productive. And that's what I want us to do. I want us to be able to step back and look at God's plan from the beginning a little bit. And in Genesis chapter 2, you know the story, the creation story. God spoke and said, "Let there be light." And He spent the 7 days creating mankind and the birds and the trees and all of creation. And we're just going to pick out a few elements here in this creation story. He creates man in Genesis, actually, we're going to start in 1, in verse 28. It says, then God blessed them, and God said, and this is, let's start in 27. So God created man in his own image. The image of God, he created a male and female. He created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the living thing that moves on, over every living thing that moves on the earth. How many people think that's a great promise? Yeah. And God created mankind in this world that is beautiful, and it's teeming with life, and it's teeming with fish and birds and animals and trees and mountains and valleys. And he looks at it and says, it is good. And he creates mankind, and then he gives mankind this commission that go forth and multiply and subdue the earth, meaning bring all of it under subject to this beauty that I have created. How many people know he wants to expand the boundaries of the beauty that he's created? And so he gives man this commission. But sometimes I think that we could take this commission and it feels like military marching orders. Go forth and be fruitful and multiply and subdue the land, and we can respond to that like military orders. Yes, sir, I have an assignment. I have something to do. But I actually believe that there is a higher calling of partnership that God has for us. And that's what we're going to look at this morning. And as the story goes on, in chapter 2, in verse 7, it says, and the Lord God, again, it goes back and revisits the creation of man. Chapter 2, verse 7, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. The Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, the Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now the river went out of Eden to water the garden, and it goes on and talks about the rivers that flow and water the garden. And then in verse 15, it says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the garden of Eden to tend and to keep it. To tend and to keep it. So here's the picture that God is paying. God created all of existence. He created earth. He created the mountains and the trees and the valleys and the animals and the birds. And then he created this garden, and he put the garden in Eden. But do you know Eden literally means pleasure or delight? So God planted a garden in the center of his pleasure. Then he created man from the dust. And then he put man in the center of the garden with this assignment to tend and to keep it. So what does that actually mean for us? It means that our assignment, right? God says, I want you to go and subdue and multiply and take the land. But I believe there's a key right here on how he wants us to do it, because he created a garden and put it in the center of his pleasure. And then he put mankind in the center of the garden. And so our relationship to God, how we're supposed to fill this assignment, is that our job is to tend what grows out of the pleasure of God. Our job is to tend, to keep, to care for, to nurture what grows out of the pleasure of God. And how many people know all this happened before sin came in the picture? Come on, right? You're with me? And so this is God's design. And he says, you have a job. You are a gardener of my pleasure. You are a gardener of my delight. My heart overflows with a good thing. And what springs out of that? Your job is to tend it and to nurture it and to watch it grow and to watch it spring forth. And yes, then sin came into the picture, right? And separation came, but God always has a heart of restoration. That God wants it back to the original design and the original purpose, which is that we are gardeners of his pleasure and delight. Come on. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Listen, the enemy wants to keep us trapped in a cycle of survival mode. And we were going after it earlier, anguish, mental anguish. I feel a real peace of God breaking that off this morning. In this season, but in particular this morning, that people are waking up to their real God-given assignment. And God wants to break off the cycle of the enemy that keeps us from thriving and just this locked in the cycle of surviving. Yeah. We're not able to take a deep breath. We're not able to look up enough to go, oh, God, what are you doing? God, what are you breathing on? Oh, God, where is your delight? Because God's got us, the enemy's got us trapped in this hamster wheel of just surviving. How many people think it's a good idea if God just breaks that hamster wheel this morning? Thank you, Father. And sets us free. There is freedom in the atmosphere. And I used the example earlier, the person who, you know, this child that you have all these dreams for, right? And all that you want to see them accomplish and grow into in life. And they start out that way and they're thriving, but somewhere along the way they get sick and they get cancer and they're having these chemo treatments, right? Right. That season, that window is all consuming. How many people know that's a hamster wheel? And you're like, all you can think about is just surviving and your appointments and your medication and the pain and like, but you're pressing through that. Listen, you're not dreaming in that season. You're surviving. And the day you go through all that and the day that the doctor walks in and says, We've got your latest scans, your latest result. You are completely free of cancer. You're completely healthy. You're completely well. Do you know what happens with that moment? Your ability to start to dream again. You're like, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm free of the hamster wheel. I can start to engage with life again. But God is doing that in the spirit. Because the great physician has already said that you're well. The great physician 2,000 years ago came in to your room of your heart and said, guess what? I've got a great diagnosis for you. You're well. You're free. You're released. Go and dream. Thank you, Jesus. How many people know that in John 3:16, probably the most well-known verse in the Bible, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. But it starts with, for God so loved the world. Yeah. This is an important part of the message. For God so loved the world. But listen, I'm prophesying right now because God's breaking off this mental hamster wheel. For God so loved the world, but sometimes we lose sight of that because we're caught in this hamster wheel and we're just trying to survive, not partnering with God to thrive. But it starts with, for God so loved the world. You see, God is looking for places to unlock his beauty. The garden, how many people just like, if it was possible to buy a ticket to go back and visit the Garden of Eden before sin, right? You're just like, woo, get translated and like the rivers and the gold and the tree of life. And how many people would like to take that trip, right? Like, it would just be astoundingly beautiful. That is God's design. That's the purpose. That's what he wants. And yes, sin came in the picture, and God's beauty got locked away in sin. But Jesus came and died, went down to hell, took the keys back, kicked the devil around, was resurrected, and gave the keys to men. It's his good pleasure to give you what? The keys of the kingdom. What do keys do? They unlock. They unlock, they give you access, they open up, they loose binding and loosing. We have the ability to loose what was part of God's original vision and original design. That God is the master artist. Come on, thank you, Jesus. Listen, there is an artist that you've probably heard of. His name is Michelangelo. That he carved the statue of David, painted the Sistine Chapel. Michelangelo has this saying as an artist. The statue of David was carved out of a 20-foot-tall block of Carrara marble. 20 feet tall, the weight of that would be tons. How many people, like, if you're not Michelangelo, right? Me, if I'm going about my day and I run into a 20-foot slab of rock, that looks like a hindrance to me. That looks like an impossibility to me. The weight of that thing, that's impossible. I'm trying to figure out everything to do to avoid that thing. I'm going to go around it, right? I'm going to avoid that. What is little old me supposed to do with tons and tons of rock? But there's something different because he had a vision inside. And he has this quote. Obviously, David is the statue of the biblical David, but referring to other carvings that he would create, he said, "I saw an angel in the marble, and I carved until I set him free." Come on, let's go. I saw an angel in the marble. Where other people see impossibility, he saw beauty. Now listen, the statue of David, people tour from all over the world, right? People want to see this amazing, beautiful statue. But before that, it was a slab of rock. Like a huge, immovable slab of rock that to me, all I see is impossibility. All I see is, that's an opportunity for me to get hurt. But he's captured a vision. Come on. He can see beauty where other people see impossibilities. He also says this, "Every block of stone has a statue inside, and it is the task of the sculptor to discover it." He just chips away until he sets it free. In John 15, I love, Chad was here last night with us, and they did the prayer and paddle event yesterday and had 50 people out on the river praying and interceding, worshiping, taking communion, and just opening up heaven, praying for our city. And it's wonderful. And then he preached last night, and And there was points of his message where he was preaching my message. And I love that. That happens so much when you have the same Holy Spirit, right? And then Ben preached it again, closing worship today. And it's just like, okay, God, it's on your heart. Listen, we're gonna read in John 15. We're gonna start in verse 9, just because it's good. We're gonna read down to 15. Verse 9, as the Father loved me, I also have loved you. Abide in my love. This is Jesus speaking, obviously. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love. Someone say abide. Just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you and that your joy may be full. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do whatever I command you. Listen, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. But I have called you friends, for all things that I heard from my Father, all things I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. No longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing. That's a key part of the verse here. And God, from the beginning, before sin, how many people think that the beginning of the story is usually important? Yeah. It sets the stage. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He created the earth and said, it is good. He created the animals and said, it is good. He created mankind and said, it is good. He created it all, and that is the beginning of the story. And then he put mankind in the center of his pleasure and said, your job is to tend and keep what grows up in my pleasure. Now, this story started with me mowing the lawn in my property. And all of a sudden, I could feel the pleasure. All the trees are trimmed, the fences are built and painted, the deck and everything is, it's just looking beautiful now. But I felt the pleasure of God, and I wasn't anticipating it, wasn't expecting it. I was just mowing the lawn. But all of a sudden, I had tapped into something that had been on his heart, not for a couple weeks, not for a couple years. Not for a couple centuries even, but from the beginning. And he said, oh, thank you for partnering with me in releasing its beauty. Whew. Thank you, Lord. And there's the thing. We had lots of work crews come and do lots of things. And these work crews, men who are paid by the hour, I mean, amazing people, honest work, but those people who are paid by the hour to do certain things, like, hey, this walkway right here, lay these stones right here. Their job was what? To lay those stones right there. It didn't matter if they had captured the vision. It didn't matter if they understood the beauty that they were trying to create. They just had an assignment. In biblical terms, you know what that is? A servant. I have an assignment to do. And sometimes when we look at the commission, go forth, be fruitful, multiply, subdue the land, we go, okay, I have an assignment, and we start trying to lay stones.
Yeah. So good.
And we wonder why breakthrough isn't happening. A servant doesn't know what his master is doing, but listen, a friend is invited not just to observe the beauty, but to partner. When my friends come over, when Bob's over, when my friends are over, and I say, and before it's been beautified, but I cast the vision, I go, oh, this is what I see, and we're gonna do this here, we're gonna do that there, and these pavers here, and flowers, and they go, oh, that's so amazing. What are they doing? They're tapping into the heart, our heart, my wife's heart, and they have permission to go, oh, you know what else would be amazing? What if you planted some roses along here? Yeah. Oh, yeah, that's a great idea. What are they doing? They're partnering with the vision. Wow. Do you know where you can tap into the pleasure of God is where you have the authority of God? Listen, you're not going to transform the foster care system because you accept it as a servant assignment. Listen, you're not going to see hospitals cleared out because you have a servant assignment. Listen, can I be honest? The reason many of us struggle with evangelism is because we haven't tapped into God's delight. In seeing people come to know him and set free. When God came in the room and God healed a bunch of bodies this morning, listen, notice how hard we didn't pray. There was no grinding the teeth. There was no praying until we're sweating. Why? Because it's not us who's doing it. We just started to tap in his heart and started to feel his pleasure on his design, what he wanted to do. He's releasing this thing. And we just get to partner with the exploding of his beauty. Yeah. Oh, God, you don't want arthritis in bodies. Okay, we partner with you in releasing that. Oh, God, you didn't design that jaw to be crooked or with TMJ. Yes, we partner with that. Whoa, when you're walking past the hospital and you feel the pleasure of God, go, oh, I don't want those people sick. All of a sudden, you just stepped into authority to walk in there and clear out a hospital. Oh, my goodness. Wow. He hasn't called, no longer do I call you servants. I call you friends. Thank you, Jesus. Whoa, he's releasing the anointing of friendship. Can I have someone come up on the keys? He's releasing the anointing of friendship. Thank you, Jesus. Listen, when you encounter God's delight, his delight, his design for the children in the foster care system, you just stepped into authority to transform the foster care system. Come on, listen, what beauty has God partnered, asked you to partner with seeing released? If you own a business, are you trying to serve God with your business? Or are you trying to release his delight? Oh God, when I look at my business, what gives you delight? What are you dreaming about that would bring you pleasure? Oh, that, okay, let's do that. And then all of a sudden things explode. Favor follows. Listen, favor is attracted to the delight of God. I don't think you got it. How many people would like to grow in more favor, more breakthrough? Favor is attracted to the delight of God. You have an assignment, but it's not to lay stones. It's not to move bricks. It's not to wrestle with a 20-foot slab of marble. It's to release the angel. It's to release the dream. It's to release the heart of God. It's to look at the impossibilities and not see the marble, not see the weight, the tonnage, not to see the impossibility, but to go, God, what do you see? Oh, you see a statue of David? Oh, and it looks like that. Oh, wow, yes, I see the contours and the curves. Yes, God, okay. And now you go to work, but guess what? That work now carries delight. Listen, if you're a servant, right? If you're working, getting paid by the hour, and somebody's like, hey, I want you to take this 20-foot slab of stone. I want you to carve it into something. You're like cursing under your breath, like, oh my goodness, it's so hot out here. This is terrible work. I don't want it, right? Because you haven't captured the vision. You're not partnering to release the delight of heaven. But once you capture the vision, you're like, oh, I could see it. And now you go to work and you're just seeing the vision. And sometimes you don't even realize you're working. You're like, oh God, yeah, this is gonna be so beautiful. I can see it. Oh, this is wonderful. You're doing the same job as the servant. But one is releasing the atmosphere of heaven. One attracts favor and breakthrough. Come on, can we stand to our feet this morning? If you want to grow in your friendship with God, partner with the delight of heaven. It's time to go get your kids, but we're going to have some ministry time up here. Whoa, thank you, Jesus. And I feel strongly encouraged that God wants, right now, he wants to release his delight. He wants to commission some people as co-laborers and as friends, as artists, as gardeners for his goodness and his pleasure. And he's going to do that right now this morning. Listen, some people, your perspective on your business is going to shift. Listen, maybe you're a nurse. Your perspective on your shift work, on the patients you serve, is going to shift. Maybe you're a stay-at-home mom. Listen, that is clay that's being formed. But are you capturing the delight of God in what he sees in your children? Are you sculpting them into something? Thank you, Jesus. My friend, a good friend, Chad Denman, who I said spoke last night, incredible, incredible time. As I shared last night, we've been friends since school of ministry days, 2003. And he was a year ahead of me in the school of ministry. And he had the most vivid friendship with God, the Holy Spirit. He stood out in the school. And it wasn't just about the gifts. He saw crazy miracles. Crazy prophetic would flow. But it was like, he hangs out with God like Adam did in the garden. He just hears his voice all the time. As I got to know him, he talks about being in high school and dating Jesus. Being just wanting to be so set apart. And I don't mean just like in theory and he like journal at night, like, oh, I'm dating. No, he would take Jesus on dates to restaurants. And he would go and ask for a table for two, and he's the only one there. But he's putting a stake in the ground. Jesus, you're my first love. And out of that pursuit, like, my goodness. The miracles and the breakthroughs and the life transformations. And I'm just gonna invite him to partner. So listen, if you feel God, I'm gonna pray, but if you feel God's calling you to be a gardener for his delight, for his pleasure, if you feel a shift is coming upon you in this way, I'm just gonna invite you to come up to the front and we're gonna pray for some people and an anointing for friendship, intimacy. I just feel it so strong. And if you need to go, you can be released to go. But let me pray for everyone. Put your hand on your heart. Father, I thank you that these people in the room right now, they're the ones that you're referring to, that you have said, no longer do I call you a servant. He's talking to you. He says, I call you friends. Because he is revealing to you all that the Father has shown him. He's tapping you in to the delight and the pleasure for his plans and his purposes and his design. Jesus said, I only do what I saw the Father doing. He's our example. Whoa. So I bless you to grow. in your friendship, in your intimacy, and I bless you to go out to tend and to keep, not to toil, because you have been redeemed from the curse. Jesus, the great physician, set you free. So I bless you not to go out and toil, but to go out and to tend and to keep what is growing up in the delight of God. So I bless you with that in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. We're going to release you in a second. Anyone who wants to come up and just receive prayer, impartation, just for that shift in your life. Chad's up here. You got something to say before we release the people?
Thanks for listening to the Sermon of the Week. For more information about this podcast and other resources, please visit BethelATX.com.